Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Well, today, as you're having a seat, go with me to the wonderful text of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. I want to talk to you about a subject today called pure sex. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 4 says this. It says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I heard a story of a little boy who was talking to his mom, and he went to her and he said, Mommy, how did you get here and how did I get here? How are babies brought into families? And the mom kind of nervously laughed and said, well, honey, there's a tall white bird, and the bird, you know, goes and up into the clouds where babies are made, and they bundle those babies up and they fly them down to homes that need babies. And the little boy looked at her kind of confused and he said, huh. And so he went on, and after about a week or so, he was being watched by his grandmother, and he said, Grandma, how did you get here? How are babies made? And the grandma laughed nervously and she said, well, honey, there's a tall white bird called the stork. And he goes and he gathers up the bundles of babies and joy and brings them down to homes and delivers them on the doorstep. And he kind of shook his head and, okay, that's what Mommy said, you know. And so then about a week later, he's on the playground with one of his play buddies. And he said, did you know that there hasn't been a normal birth in our family for 3 generations? See, there's a lot of stuff that we hear about sex. A lot of stuff that we hear about how our sexuality should be. In fact, in our world, sexuality is a huge topic. It sells. And more, it's become a hot topic and a hot button. And today in church, as we take a look at this, it's important that we spend some time to see what the Word of the Lord has to say, not what man has to say, not what the experts out there have to say. How many of you know that someone can call themselves an expert, they can study up and still miss what God has for each and every one of us in life? Because God is the author. God is the creator. God made us. Did you know that the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God made them male and female? God knew that we would be sexual beings when He created us. He designed us. He made us, and He made sex itself in order for it to be enjoyed within the marriage covenant. We're going to talk about these things today. As you read Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 4, it's been talking about brotherly love. It's been talking about relationships with those in the church. It's been talking about remembering those that are a part of the church that we're connected to, that are in prisons, the persecuted church. And then He switches over, and all of a sudden He starts talking about a different type of relationship, and He says marriage. Now, marriage is honorable among all. That word honorable could also be translated precious. In fact, the Greek tense says that marriage is to be honored among all. That we should have a high level of value that we place on marriages. You know, in our society, it's withering away, the value of marriage. Less and less people are getting married. In fact, there's perceived barriers to getting married. Well, I got to get my life in order first. I got to have this much money in the bank. I've got to have this job. I got to complete my education. I got to make sure that I got all my ducks in a row. You know what? And I got to make sure that we're compatible. And so we're going to live together for a little while first, and then we'll check it out, kind of kick the tires, slam the doors, and we'll see if that works out. And if we like that, then maybe we'll get married. And yet, here the Word of God says marriage is honorable. It is to be honored. Why? Because it's precious. That same word honorable is the same word that you'll find in 1 Peter. When 1 Peter starts talking about the blood of Jesus, it says the precious, the honorable blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that same word that talks about the blood of Jesus Christ as being precious is the word that's applied here to our marriages. It's precious. It's something that God died for. It's something that Jesus came and shed His blood for. It was not only for the church, but for marriage. Why? Because if you find in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. God wants us in life to have healthy, godly marriages. I can say that. Now, of course, there are people who are called to celibacy. We understand that. Jesus talked about that. He said there are some who were made eunuchs and some who chose to become eunuchs. And that is not a dishonorable thing. In fact, the Apostle Paul was unmarried. He said, I wish everybody could be like I am, because then you're unhindered and you can go and serve the Lord and you're thinking about what you can do for God rather than what you can do for your spouse. But it's no dishonor to be married. It doesn't make a married person or a single person any less in the kingdom of God. God values marriage as well as God values your singlehood. But it says that no matter which place you find yourself in this place today, no matter what journey you're on, what road you're traveling, whoever you are, married, single, eunuch, you know, you're going to be abstinent for your entire life, whatever it is, you should be honoring marriage. Why? Because God honors marriage. And he says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Now, again, the Greek tense says, let the bed be undefiled. In other words, don't bring any pollutants into your marriage bed. Don't bring stuff in that should not be there. In our day and age, there's all sorts of foolishness that's gone on. People have been saying, you know, you could go drive down the freeway and find a billboard that'll tell you what you need to be doing in your marriage bed. But that's where the word of the Lord says that marriage bed is undefiled, or that it should not be defiled with pollutants that are brought in. We are to keep it pure. We're to guard that marriage bed. It is something that is holy when a man and a wife come together in a covenant relationship and join together in sexual intimacy. That is something that God created within the marriage covenant to be enjoyed. It is to be something that is intimate, something that is pleasurable, and something that brings these two together. And again, it is a picture of Christ in the church, the intimacy. Not getting gross, or, you know, we're all adults in this place, and for those of you that are young, we're not saying anything that shouldn't be said. To the pure, all things are pure. But look at what it says at the very end. It says, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I don't have to weigh in on this, guys. I didn't write that. The Holy Spirit wrote that. Holy Spirit spoke that to the person that wrote this down, and it's been contained for thousands of years in the scriptures for you and for me. See, in our society, people will say, well, you don't judge me. You don't judge me. You don't. Well, I don't have any judgment. I left that up to God. And God is the one who says what's right and what's wrong. I don't get the determination. When I laid down my life for Jesus Christ, and when I was crucified with him, and when my life, my old life, passed away, I gave up the option of determining for myself that which is good and that which is evil. And now I leave those decisions to God. Yet it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith is believing in the word that has already been spoken. And God has said, fornicators and adulterers he will judge. Do a study of it. Just do a little word study. Go online, find a good Bible study program, and take a look at the word adultery or fornication and find out about the judgment of God on that. The Bible says that if you are doing that unrepentantly, and if you're going to continue in that, that you are headed for hell. Can we talk? You know, this church is in your face. It's not going to change, guys. Even though we have a new senior pastor here, and it's the young guy, and he's the nice guy, I'm going to tell you like it is. We're not candy coating it today. We're not watering it down. This is how it is. If you're going to keep doing that, unrepentant, you're not going to change. You're going to go to hell. And someone needs to tell us the truth, because there's been so many lies and there's been such a watering down of the gospel, it just makes me sick. And it's time for the real church to stand up and to stand on the word of God and declare, this is how it is. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's not going to be popular. And if you want to stand up and walk out, bye. It's on you. Because I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to be your cheerleader. I'm your pastor. Listen, we're not going to pussyfoot around today. This is not beating around the bush, okay? Let's get to the point. The point is that the marriage is to be honored, that we are not to defile it and bring in pollutants. But if you're going to continue in unrepentant sin, you're going to have to deal with God on that. That's a scary thought. But you know what? The great thought is this, is that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If in the past, or if currently, you find yourself in a situation where you are in adultery, or you are fornicating. Fornicating, let's define these terms for a second. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. If you are a single person in this place, you are unmarried and you have sex, that is fornication. Okay? If you are a married person and you have sex outside of your marriage covenant, that is adultery. Okay? Just make sure we define what we're talking about today. Okay? So if you are currently or have been involved in those in the past, it's time to repent. Repentance means I'm turning, I'm changing my heart, changing my mind, I'm changing my direction. I'm going to change my actions. I was going in this direction away from God, but I'm going to make a 180-degree turn in my thoughts, in my heart, and in my actions, and I'm going to head towards God. And I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. The Bible says when you ask God to forgive you, he's faithful, he's just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can stand before the Lord pure and holy once again. And so God gives us the grace and empowers us to live the godly life in Christ Jesus that he wants for all of us. And so today, I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to be like, well, I can't do that. I've already messed up. No, there is hope for you today that you can have a godly, healthy marriage covenant relationship and enjoy the pleasures of sexual intimacy within marriage. Can somebody say amen to that? Now, when I look at this verse, I see a couple of things that I just want to draw out some truths as we look at this verse. First truth that I see in this is that we are to place high value on our marriage and sexual relationship. We need to place that high value on it. If it is precious, that means it's costly. And it cost Jesus his blood to purchase the church. In the same way, in the marriage covenant, this sexual relationship should be valued. Single people in the place, let me talk to you, it is worth waiting for. It is worth the sacrifice of temporary pleasure, because can we just talk some truth for a second? Sex feels good, okay? It's okay to say that in church, right? You guys are all stiff. You guys are all sitting there. Did he really just say that? Hey, Abraham and Sarah, 99 years old and 89 years old, and here they are, and God says, you're going to have a baby at the appointed time next year, and Sarah laughs and says, shall I have pleasure in my old age? You know what she's talking about. Okay? That, you look it up in the Hebrew. It means feels good, pleasurable, fun. It's okay. We are so stiff in the American church that we think that we can't talk about anything, we can't do anything. You got to turn in your fun badge when you become a Christian. No, sex is so much better in marriage than it is outside of marriage, because there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's no repercussions. You can just go and play and have fun in the marriage covenant. Hello, all right? So single people, it's so good in marriage. Well, why are you telling me that, Pastor? It makes me want to have it more. Here's why I'm telling you. Because it's worth valuing it enough to wait for it. It's worth it. It's worth it. If I could just open up my life and my wife, you know her testimony. She's told it, especially the ladies know her testimony. And you know, before we got together, you know, being a young man, I was dealing with young man issues, you know, and I was exposed to pornography at age 10. Guys, that's a shame. That is a shame in our society. And I would imagine that with smartphones and Netflix and YouTube and all that kind of other stuff, that those ages are probably dropping, that people are exposed to pornography. And so the battle for purity, the battle for what was going in my eye gate, was something that I had to deal with. And I had to go to my wife and I had to talk to her before we got married and even after we got married and say, I need discipline, I need help. And we have put, I don't sit on social media for long hours looking at what people are posting, because oftentimes that can draw you away. And now the advertisements are coming in, and then, you know, all the different things. You can't even search like rainbows on Google without pornography showing up. You know what I mean? And it's just mind-boggling to me. And so that was my struggle. That was my life. My wife also, as a young girl, had things that happened within relationships that should not have happened. Things were taken from her, and because of that, she rebelled and went into a very dark time in her life. And I was a virgin when we got married. She was not a virgin when we got married. When we came together, though, we gave our hearts and lives to the Lord, and we said, you know what, God, we both want to be pure and holy before you. And we want to just have a life that's committed to you. And within our marriage, yes, sex for her had never been a good thing, and sex for me had always been a perverted thing. But as we got together in the marriage covenant, as we came together, two people who maybe had the wrong opinions and ideas about sex, God used our marriage covenant to bring us into a beautiful, wonderful relation. That's why it's worth waiting for. University of Texas sociology professor Mark Regnerus wrote in the Washington Post. Now, this was in the Washington Post, okay? And he writes this. He says, sex has become cheap. That is, it's not hard to get, because it's much less risky and consequential in the era of birth control. Perceived barriers to marriage, meanwhile, are getting higher, prompting greater marital delay and fewer marriages overall. Add to that the Christians' elevated standards for marriage, and you have a recipe for wholesale retreat. Cheap sex, it seems, has a way of deadening religious impulses. It's able to poke holes in the sacred canopy over the erotic instinct, to borrow the late Peter Berger's term. Perhaps the increasing lack of religious affiliation among young adults is partly a consequence of widening trends in non-marital sexual behavior among young Americans in the wake of expansion of pornography and other tech-enhanced sexual behaviors. Cohabitation has prompted plenty of soul searching over the purposes, definition, and hallmarks of marriage. But we haven't reflected enough on how cohabitation erodes religious belief. We overestimate how effectively scientific arguments secularize people. I love this last sentence. Listen to this. He says, it's not science that's secularizing Americans. It's sex. You remember Solomon. Solomon was serving the Lord. Solomon had heard the voice of God. He had visions and dreams in the night. Solomon had received the wisdom of God, and he was in his influence, in his reach, in his wealth, he was greater than his father David in those areas. And yet, Solomon at the end of his life went against the word of the Lord, and he got wives from the nations around him. 600 of them, as a matter of fact. That's in itself like, whoa, okay? But those wives turned his heart away from the Lord. See, we don't understand that when we make compromises in our sexual purity, that it actually deadens our religious impulses, deadens, you'll find yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things that you never thought you would do. And you will realize how far I have gone away from the Lord. Why? Because you allowed sex, you allowed temporary pleasures to take you away from an intimate relationship with God himself. And that sexual relationship will turn you away. In the same way, God challenged and commanded the nation of Israel, do not intermarry with the nations around you. Why? He says, because their daughters will turn your hearts away from serving the living God to idols. And we see that happening all throughout the history of Israel. I think the children's rhyme gives us the right order, don't you? You guys remember the little children's rhyme? First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage. Thank you for saying that along with me. I can see that you guys were trained right as a child. And yet we run away from those things, don't we? That's conventional wisdom. That's the right order. First comes love, then comes marriage. Get married, and then comes the baby. Have fun having a fulfilling sexual relationship within the confines of the covenant relationship. Now, I know I keep saying covenant relationship. Here's why. Because a covenant is a binding agreement. It's the closest, most solemn, and sacred of all contracts. When you say, I do, when you say the vows before the representative of God, when you exchange gifts and those rings, and when you eat that covenant meal together, or smash that covenant cake, right, in the face of the other person, see, something takes place. God takes the two, and he brings them together as one. Sexual intimacy must come at the cost of covenant relationship. Sex inside marriage is blessed, but sex outside of marriage brings God's judgment. That's what we see in the verse, right? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right at the beginning, look at what it says. God brings the woman to Adam. He brings her out of his side, right? Doesn't bring her from his head so that she can lord over him. Doesn't bring him out from underneath his feet so he can dominate her. Brings her from his side to come alongside, right? There's a unity. There's a oneness there. It's intimacy. And in Genesis 2, 24, it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now notice there's a joining first, and then comes the sexual relationship that's enjoyed within the covenant relationship, right? It has an order. See, God brought Eve to Adam. And when God brought Eve to Adam, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This whoa, man, right? Because he saw her and she was looking good. And he said, whoa, man, she's been taken from the side of man. That's a little joke, okay, just in case you didn't catch it. You'll get it later. It's okay. And so he says she's been brought from my side. And then this verse comes along and says, so shall a man leave his father and mother. Can I tell you something? Adam didn't have a mom and dad. God created him. Eve didn't have a mom and dad. God created her. So what is he saying? He's setting up a principle for marriage that there has to be a leaving, forsaking of all others. God didn't bring Eve to Adam and say, Adam, now this is Eve, and I've created a whole bunch of other women. I want you to go out there and play the field, slam the doors and kick the tires, see what you like, see who you're sexually compatible with first, live with all of them, and then afterwards, if you like Eve over the other ones, you can have Eve. No, he brought one, and he brought that one for a life partner, and he said, so shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and then they too shall become one flesh. That's why we value it so much, is because God set it up. God created us, God created marriage, and he wants us to enjoy the sexual relationship within marriage. Which brings us to the second thing that I see in this verse, is that we are to keep the marriage bed pure. We're not to bring in pollutants. We're not to bring in other things. God brought two together as one, as life partners. And there are things in our society right now that are perversions that have been brought into the marriage bed. Sometimes people say, well, I can't get aroused by my spouse. This is why we don't have children in here right now, okay? I can't get aroused by my spouse. I need to watch pornography in order to have that sexual arousal so that we can have sexual intimacy together. Listen, guys, that is not the plan of God. That is bringing someone else into the marriage bed. And remember what Jesus said, if you've lusted in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So there is an emotional adultery. There is a thing that's taking place on the inside of you that you are now bringing into your marriage bed, and that is polluting your marriage bed. To bring someone else into the marriage bed, you know, there's a swinger culture that's been going on for decades now. People doing wife swaps and all these parties and orgies and all that kind of stuff. God never intended for those things to be a part of the marriage bed. He intended it for a man and a wife, and they too shall become one flesh. Talking about the marriage bed. He says, keep it pure. Don't bring in those other things. Don't bring in all that foolishness of the world. And look at what it says in the book of Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter 5. I want you to turn there with me. Okay, Proverbs chapter number 5. In fact, the book of Proverbs, if you read Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 6, you will find out about the lures that come of the adulterous, it views the adulterous woman, but really any adulterer, you can apply it, male or female. Proverbs chapter 5, I'm going to take a look at verse number 15 through verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15 says this. It says, drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. You say, Pastor, we're talking about sex. Why are we talking about water? Why did we switch courses here? Because really this is talking about your life. This is talking about your sexual relationship with your spouse. And it says, drink water from your own cistern. Don't go to your neighbor's house and try and drink some water out of there. Drink running water from your own well. If you have running water, that means there's more available at a later time, right? You don't have to, you know, get as much as you can and then go to someone else's stream or fountain. No, you've got your own fountain. That spouse is a life partner for you to enjoy that sexual relationship throughout your time together on the earth. And it goes on in the next verse and it says, should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Streams of water in the streets, that's a waste. And he's saying this could be viewed in one of two different ways. Either number one, should you go out there and have children with people out there and other people are raising your children because of your loose living? That's one thought. Should your streams, the children that come forth from you, be raised by someone else? No, you should be responsible for those children. You should be the one to raise them up. You should be the one telling them about the ways of the Lord and making sure that they're raised right in our society. The other one is this. Should your sexuality be out there? Should you be a whore, either male whore or a female whore? Should you be out there whoring around and sleeping with anybody? Should your streams be flowing out there in the streets? It's indecent and it's inappropriate. Now look at the next verse. He brings it home. He says, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Verse 18, let your fountain be blessed. Now stop right there for a second. Remember we said that within the marriage covenant, the sexual relationship is blessed. So he says, let. It's your choice. Don't bring in pollutants, all right? This is pure water. This is something that God calls, God deems as pure. Let your fountains be blessed. Now he brings it home and he draws the correlation between the marital relationship and between what he's talking about with water. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. Did you know right there, married people, you have permission to go and have a fulfilling sexual relationship in your marriage? Oh, come on, married people, I should have had a great big amen. At least from the men, I should have gotten amen. I should have had a, you get them, Pastor. Come on, guys, I'm on your side here. You have permission from God in the marriage covenant to have a fulfilling sexual relationship. There you go. God says, go home and get naked and have a party. Rejoice. Celebrate. Right? Go for it. My goodness. And he says, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. See, you are meant to gather together as husband and wife and enjoy that embrace. That's why he starts talking about this area right here, is because he's saying, come together, enjoy one another, play, have fun, laugh together. You know what? That's part of the thing. You know, Adam and Eve, God didn't have to tell them, hey guys, this is how you do this. He didn't have a book or an instruction manual. He didn't have a graph or a chart. But guess what? He just said, hey, the plumbing works. Go for it, right? That's part of the fun of being married, is finding out how it works. Been at this for 16 years and I'm still learning stuff, right? It's fun. That's part of the fun. I think I'm doing okay. We have 3 children. Seems to work. So sorry. I told you it wouldn't get weird. It just got weird. Always be enraptured with her love. Listen, if you're having trouble loving your wife or your husband, right, you need to start confessing the word of God. I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for me. I respect and honor my husband as the church is to Christ. I reverence him. I respect him. I show awe. God, that is the man that you gave me. You formed him from the dust. He may be a dusty, dirty old man, but God, you have sanctified him. You raised him up. He is the man of God. I respect him, right? If maybe, you know, over the years, they might have let themselves go in some ways. Listen, God understands that. God knows that after a while, he created gravity and what it's going to do to the body. God understands that. But you go home and you start to confess the word of the Lord and you get naked and you start taking a look at each other, things are going to happen. Verse number 20, for why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Why? See, he said, delight yourself in the breasts of your wife, not in the arms of another woman. There's an appropriate way to have a sexual relationship. And if you read in other areas of Proverbs, it says that the seductress, her steps go down to hell. See, we need to stay away from that. Even though her lips drip with honey and she's looking good and she looks like the cover model, that's all airbrushed anyway. And nobody looked like that. Just to drive this point home, let's illustrate this. I got some water. My lovely wife, Pastor Jess, would you come up here with me and help me out with this, darling? Okay, this is Pastor Jess, my lovely wife. And we're talking about pure sex, right? This is pure water. This is sparkling water. Also, I got my buddy. Where's my buddy Gup at? Gup, are you here? He's sitting in the service. Come on up, Gup. This is my friend Gup. He is one of the drummers here at the Rock Church. Does a great job leading us in praise and worship. Okay. I just want to show you how this works, all right? Gup, here's your water, all right? Now, Guppy is single. Pastor Jess and I are married, all right? Now, in our relationship, honey, you thirsty?
Sure.
Okay. There's some water. Yeah, there's some water right there for you. You know, darling, I'm thirsty. That water looks good.
All right.
Give me some of that.
I guess.
You guess? See, men, you have to remind them every now and then, don't you? Honey, can you top me off? It's okay, sometimes you gotta ask, all right? Because they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about the kids and school and how they're gonna clean the house and what they're gonna do for dinner. And so, honey,
put you on our list.
Yeah, put me on the list, all right? So, that's good. That's pure. Now, what if Gup came over and said to Pastor Jess, right? What if?
No.
What would happen here? Thank you, Gup. Thank you, Pastor Jess. See how easy that is? I think in our society, we need a healthy dose of no. Practice it with me, all right? Come on. I need everybody on the count of three to say the very best, the very boldest, the very Satan-slapping no that you can say, all right? Ready? One, two, three.
No!
There you go. That's that easy. Sex before marriage.
No.
Sex outside of marriage.
No.
Pornography.
No.
That is that easy. No. You put the flesh. Don't let the flesh tell you what it wants. Tell the flesh.
No.
There you go. Got to keep the marriage bed pure. Now, pure does not mean exempt from pleasure or fun. We already said this, so I'm not going to hammer this. Just don't bring in simple things like pornography and all that other stuff, other people, extramarital affairs and things like that. Here's the point of this whole verse, is let God have the final say. The very end, it says that fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I don't have any judgment on that. God has the judgment on that. In our society, people are saying, well, it feels good, and I don't see anything wrong with it, and I think that was culturally, and at the time, that was okay for them, but, you know, now times have changed. Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word stands forever. It has not changed. God's heart has not changed on this, because God's not talking about our culture. He's talking about Christ and the church, and he's talking about male and female, and they too shall become one. God has not changed his mind, and culture does not dictate the will of God to us. God's word dictates the will of God to us. So we got to let God have the final say. Guys, God made marriage. God made sex. God made our gender. He created them male and female. God is not confused about what he made. God is not confused about your life. And God knows the plans and the purposes and the pursuits that he has for you. God is the creator of all things. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the way to operate in all of these things, God knows. He is all-knowing. He is the perfect author of all these things. We need to take his view rather than take the world's view. It's time for us to stand on the word of God. I want to read one more section of scripture to you. I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase. I would encourage you later on, take your favorite Bible translation, whether it be New King James, Old King James, NLT, NIV, whatever you like, okay? And I want you to read this again in whatever translation you use. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 2 through 5 in the Message, I thought that it really brought this point home for all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 2 through 5, I'll put it up on the overheads for all of us to read along. It says this. It says, it's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Now remember, the Apostle Paul says, but if you can be single like me, if you can accept that sort of a life, I think it's good, especially because of the present distress that we're in right now. He says, that's okay. But notice, God's not concerned with either way. God's concerned with purity, with holiness, and with doing it his way. So he says, it's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. The marriage bed must be a place of mutuality. The husband seeking to satisfy his wife and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. I love what it says in this next section. It says, marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights. See, the marriage bed is not a place to enforce what you want on your spouse. It's a place of mutuality. If you guys are in agreement about something, then that's pure and holy before the Lord in your marriage bed without bringing in anything sinful. If you guys are in agreement, you guys want to bring in ice or candles, or you guys want to put on bunny rabbit suits and hop around the room, that's your business, okay? It just got weird again, didn't it? But it's not a place to impose your rights. If your spouse is not comfortable with what you're asking, then put it away. Because you will still be fulfilled in the sexual relationship that you are in agreement with. Okay? Now it goes on and it says, marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. And then he goes on and he says this, abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time. If you both agree to it, and if it's for the purposes of prayer and fasting, but only for such times, then come back together again. So he does say, if you guys are in agreement, okay? And you say, hey, let's not have sex for a period of time. And let's pray and fast. And then afterwards, when we've finished that course, whether it's a 5-day fast, you're going to do something like that, or a couple of days while you press into the Lord and you pray. If you guys are in agreement about that, he says, that's great. Go ahead and do that. Maybe for the purpose of prayer and fast. Make sure to pray and fast. Don't just be watching TV on the couch. No, you get into the face of the Lord. You get in his presence. You write down what he's saying to you. You come together. You talk about that. And then he says, come back together in a healthy sexual relationship. Why does he say that? At the very end, it says this. It says, Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. See, sex will actually guard your marriage from adultery and from perversion and from pornography and from all the things that the world is trying to push against us. If you are in love with your spouse and fulfilled in your sexual relationship, it will keep you pure from those other draws that Satan would like to tempt you with. But if you don't have a healthy sexual relationship in this place today, I want to give you some hope. I want to give you some encouragement. Maybe some of you, your marriage is on the rocks. I would encourage you to take the word of the Lord and put it into practice. Maybe you guys have been at odds with each other. Maybe you guys are wondering about divorce and that sort of a thing. Listen, it's time to just say, hey, let's take a break for a second. Let's go and fast. Let's pray. And then come back together and talk about what the Lord is speaking to your heart. Humble yourself. Forgive one another. Love one another. And then come back together in the marriage bed and allow the Lord to work that healing in your life, that forgiveness, and then bring you back together, the two as one flesh. Try out the word because the word works. Can somebody say amen to that? Let me break it down to you like this. We are to value the marriage bed, keep it pure, be in agreement that God's way is right, and enjoy the blessings of intimacy in the marriage bed. Did you guys get something from the word of the Lord today? Come on, let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.